so special that I forgot about it.
I think that might have been where I predicted them from the very beginning, because I'm really smart.
You are the smartest man around.
I've just got a massive brain.
Hello and welcome back to this EFL at URM podcast. I'm your co-host Harry, and I'm with my other co-host Luke. If we do what we usually do then on this show, you know, it was a busy week of football last weekend, and we'll obviously start with League Two. I think the aim of today's show will go through last week's scores. So we've already picked four games for us to talk about. Luke will obviously run through the rest of the score lines. This week is Luke's turn to play quick fire scores. If you saw on the Instagram, I did not do very well last week, only scoring 18 points, which is atrocious.
It is atrocious, yes.
And then a very special segment for this week, we will be doing a player of the month review. Again, this has been posted on the Instagram, so go over there and have a look. Give us a follow, a like. Yeah.
You know, go get like that. Everybody seems to be doing at the moment.
Yeah. So if we go to League Two then, the first game we will start with, and we'll go for Doncaster versus Mansfield. So this was a 3-1 game which went the way of Mansfield. Mansfield picks up their first away points of the season. In the game, Doncaster scored through a Tomlin penalty, and then goals obviously from Clark, Maris and Akins. Akins was a penalty as well, important to note, at the end of the game. So Doncaster find themselves sat sixth in table on 14 points and Mansfield seventh. What are your thoughts?
I think Mansfield are finally getting into a bit of a role, really. Obviously, they had a really poor start to the season. I think they lost last week too. So after that poor start to the season, I think they bounced back pretty well, to be fair. Especially against his Doncaster side, who hadn't lost until last game as well. So they're pretty well to beat them. Of course, with Lee Tomlin coming up with the penalty, and then Akins, Maris and Clark. I think Lapsley, is that his name? Probably.
Yeah.
He did pretty well this match, getting the assist, which was a really good assist. And his all-round play was pretty good, to be fair. I think Clough is going to be really happy with his team in this game, because they've shown qualities that they did last year, and that's just to beat really good teams. And I think this Doncaster team has the ability to be a really good team.
Yes, it does indeed. Mansfield, as you said, starting to climb the table now. I think bar their 5-2 win a few weeks ago over Wimbledon, it's been a very slow start. And this is the first time they've found themselves up in the playoffs. As you said, I'm sure Clough will be very excited. I think, you know, starting to see a team now where the playoff hangover is sort of worn off after that loss to Port Vale at Wembley at the end of last season. But as you said, this is up against a very strong Doncaster team. You know, Doncaster have been in the playoffs for a while. Well, what we say for a while, it's seven games in, but they've been in the playoffs around there. Team relegated from League One last year. If we just touch on that, do you think now Doncaster, this is a team that will be there at the end of the season?
Well, they've looked very solid so far this season. They haven't really lost too many games. I think they're still up to this game. They won the last, well, unbeaten in the last five. So I think that this game probably was a bit of them having a bit of an off day, and Mansfield just being really good, because Doncaster, again, they've kept it pretty tight at the back in the last five games, really. And they obviously beat Newcastle United Academy, and then Northampton, then Salford, which was a big win, then Stockport, which was also a big win, other than drawing to Wimbledon in the last game. So I wouldn't be too worried, and I think that they will be up there at the end of the season, because they do look like a very decent outfit.
Yeah, they do. They do look like a good team. If we then move on to another game in League Two, and we're going to look at Carlisle versus Rochdale. This is a game that went, you know, a 3-3 draw. Rochdale are still waiting for their first win of the season, and at halftime, this score was 1-1. Shortly after halftime, Rochdale went up to 3-1. but have somehow managed to blow that 3-1 lead to only get a point. Rochdale are obviously still bottom of the league. They were the first team to have their managers sacked after those first five games. And Carlisle find themselves 12th. So it's not a top of the end table clash, this one. But do you think now Rochdale, you know, they're still waiting for that first run of the season. Do you think they can't really be affording to be blowing a 3-1 lead?
Well, it reeks of Burton, really, to be honest with you. Not being able to keep leads. And I do fear for this Rochdale team because they don't look very good defensively and they don't look very good going forward either. So, yeah, I'd be very worried if I was a Rochdale supporter because they were one of the favourites to go down at the start of the season and they're proving that at the moment too.
Yeah, this Rochdale team at the moment seems to be a quickly running the show in this last game, getting an assist and two goals. But yeah, rightfully, as you said, bottom of the league without a win in the first seven games, you know, there needs to be careful now because, yes, they want to stay up, but they're not going to be able to do that if they don't get any points quickly. And, you know, could we put a slight prediction and say this could be one of the lowest ever points received by a team if it stays this way? It's a bold statement from me, but you never know. You never know. On the reverse side, you know, you've got Carlisle, 12th. It's not really been, you know, an exciting season for them. Is this something that we sort of saw coming at the start of the season? Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I thought they'd be probably lower mid-table, but they have surprised me a little bit because I think that they've looked really decent in League Two at the moment. Obviously, they played a game less than everybody else in the league, apart from Grimsby, because their game got called off a couple of weeks ago. So, again, if they got their game in hand, they could jump up to seventh, really. So they have had a good start to the season and definitely have surprised me. And I think their talisman at the moment is Dennis, who has scored, I think, it might be 6 goals in 8 games or 7 goals in 9 games in all league games, well, all league and cup games. And he's been, pretty amazing for them. I think he nearly broke the record for the most back-to-back games with goals for Carlisle until he didn't score a couple of weeks ago. So if they can keep him scoring, I think they'll do really well this season. I mean, really well for Carlisle at the moment. It's probably mid-table. And they seem to be on an upward trajectory because if you think about it, Carlisle are a pretty big club, especially for League Two standards. So it would be surprising in a few years that they do finally get promoted again.
Yeah, he's really been a standout player for them. And yeah, as you said, this is the Carlisle aren't really a small team in this league, you know. There are some bigger teams, but they are one of the big teams. So, you know, if they can hold on to him and maybe sign a few more at January with a bit of quality, anything could really happen. So if we then move on to a third game in this league, and we'll go for Crewe versus Stevenage. So this game was a 2-1 win for Stevenage. 2 goals from Jamie Reid in the second half saw Steve Evans, Stevenage come from behind to win. Important to note, in the first half, Crewe did go 1-0 up, but just before their first goal, they did indeed miss a penalty. Stevenage, you know, currently sat second in the league, 16 points already, looking a really strong, and as we've said before in previous podcasts, a massively different team to what we saw last year. And Crewe are currently sat 10th now with 11 points, 1 point off Mansfield sat in 7th. So with this Stevenage, we talked about them last week, how we said, you know, the massive difference turnaround. This form is sort of suggesting that it's not just a one-off, you know, first few games of the season they've done really well. It looks like they're there in second and they look like they're trying to stay there and challenge.
Yeah, I think Stevenage look like an insanely good team at the moment compared to what they were last year. I mean, I know they're coming up against a Crewe side that are not in form at the moment, only winning one of the last 5 games. But they've done really well at Stevenage, and they look like they controlled this game, well, not too much, because they only had 46% possession and Crewe had a bigger, more XG. But with Stevenage, they're just so clinical. They don't miss any big chances. They create a couple of big chances in the game, but they never miss, well, hardly ever miss them. And it's like being so clinical that's projected this Steve Evans side into second And especially for the penalty save, I think that was very crucial. Because if Stevenage go 2-0 down, you could probably see them getting a draw out of this game, but I don't think you'd see them getting a win, because Crewe, although they should be up there, they haven't had a great start to the season. But you would have thought they'd keep on to a 2-0 lead.
I agree. One thing we should talk about, Stephen, is this is a transfer deadline day signing, and that was the signing of Alex Gilby. Now, Luke, do you know who Alex Gilby is?
Yes. He played for Charlton last season, and Milton Keynes, and Wigan, and Colchester, and Newport. So he's been around the block a lot.
Did you read that?
That's just from a memory.
Just from memory, yeah. Of course, it is, you know, top class pundit as you are yourself. But, you know, Stevenage attracting a player like Alex Gilby. Now, Alex Gilby is not a small player. He went to Charlton. Charlton bought him from MK Dons to try and use him to create that promotion push. And it hasn't gone right for him at Charlton. And somehow he's found his way dropping down on loan to Stevenage. So, firstly, for Alex Gilby, is that a bit of a, you know, for the type of player, is that a bit of a crazy sort of move for him? And secondly, do you think Stevenage are now being able to, you know, the good form at the start of the season, they used it well to attract somebody of his quality?
Yeah, I think they definitely have used, because I think what you see with Stevenage is they definitely are aiming to get promoted this season, judging by the way that they've come out of the blocks. So I think Gilby definitely would have been attracted to Stevenage because, one, it's not too far away from Charlton, so he didn't really have to relocate. And secondly, he'd love to get some wins under his belt because he's been pushed out of the Charlton Athletic team a little bit, so he will be playing most games at Stevenage and not at Charlton. So I can see why he's moved, and it could be a good move for him because he has been proven to be a good player. I mean, he hasn't hit the heights that he probably could have done at Charlton, having a couple of stinky games. But no, I think a loan move to a really good Stevenage team could probably help him long term.
Yeah, when he was at MK Dons, he managed to get himself 2 Players of the Year awards. And when MK Dons first signed him, they were obviously in League Two. They signed him from Wigan. And I remember a lot of Wigan fans on Twitter being really confused by this move because he was one of their standout players. But yeah, as you said, it'll be interesting to see now what he can do at Stevenage.
Steve Evans is obviously up for Manager of the Month, and I think he deserves that. What about you?
Yeah, I definitely think he deserves that. From what he's done at Stevenage, you know, the other three are good candidates, but taking a team that had, you know, a team which seemed destined to be in non-league last year, it stayed up by the skin of its teeth, to then put them second in the league and being able to track these higher profile players, it's just amazing. So, yeah, for me, he is my manager of the month. But we'll come back onto that in a little bit. One final game which we will look at, and that is Grimsby versus Newport. Grimsby won 2-0. Newport, who are currently 17th in the league, you know, having a bit of a slow start from what we're used to seeing them around the playoffs. But Grimsby are finding themselves 9th, which is, you know, not something that I really would have predicted at the start of the year. They've had a good bit of run of form. What are your thoughts on Grimsby?
Well, the 9th with a game in hand on everyone around them. So they could get into proper playoff contention if they beat their game, or win their game against, I forgot, what was it?
Hold on.
Literally talked about it last game.
Grimsby.
Carlisle, yeah. Right. So they'd be in playoff contention if they win their game against Carlisle, which has been rescheduled. So, yeah, Paul Hurst has done absolute wonders with this Grimsby team. I mean, they've lost McAtee because he's obviously had a prolonged injury as soon as he got loaned back to them by Luton. So that's unfortunate. But, yeah, Hurst has signed some pretty good players in the last transfer window, especially Bryn Morris, who on his day is a very good League One centre midfielder. Not a League Two centre midfielder at all. I think he probably could be playing in League One at the moment, especially for Burton, because I think Burton let him go, and like Burton can definitely do with him at the moment. So I don't know. Paul Hurst is just, I think he's a mentality monster. Yeah, he gets his team like really close knit, really hard to beat, and can score a couple of good goals as well. So I wasn't really surprised about this because I've seen the wonders that Paul Hurst can do since the first hand. And yeah, the Grimsby might be a one to watch because they could surprise a lot of people. A lot of talk at the start of the season was about Stockport getting back-to-back promotions, but obviously they don't look like the favourites to do that anymore. But yeah, Grimsby could probably take that role of Stockport and get promoted if they carry on with this form, because they've been really hard to beat, and that's a sign of a very successful side.
Yeah, and looking at those players, as you know, it's the time of the month. Waterfall, their right centre half, is also up for player of the month. So, and I've heard he's been amazing. So, I've got a lot of comments as well today on the post, on the Instagram post that we've done, and they're saying it should be him, but it'll probably go to Sam Hoskins for his goals. But if we so yeah, as you said, Grimsby, they're looking really strong, and they've made some fantastic signings in there. So they're definitely a team that we would suggest to keep an eye on, I guess. Newport, though, we do need to talk about them, because 17th in the league for a team that's not you've seen them up, they've been in the playoffs, they've been around the playoffs the last 3 4 years now. Do you think a big change needs to be made? Do they need some new inspiration from a new manager? Do they need, I don't know, just change of system? Is there something going wrong, or do you think they just give it some time and they'll be back?
I really struggle to see many positives in Newport at the moment. I don't think James Robery is up to the job, really. I think as the last manager went to Walsall and then started doing very well with them until the last like five games, where he's done absolutely appalling with awful at Walsall. So it's a hard one, Walsall is, because they have the ability in their squad to be pushing higher. Like you would have thought playoffs is the ultimate aim. But especially with Bogle and people like that, but they're just disappointing week in, week out, and I don't really see them getting much better than they are, especially with this manager who is not very well experienced. What are your thoughts on them?
Yeah, as you said, so you're looking at the squad, you're seeing players like Bogle, Drysdale's a well-known centre back in this league now. I've just started to think about what's going wrong this season, because this is a team that, so last 2 years ago they're in the playoffs, didn't quite happen for them. Last year they managed to pick themselves up around the playoffs again, and now they've finished 17th. It's unless there's something going on that I don't know, you don't know, that a proper Newport fan will be able to tell us, then apart from that, I think there needs to be a massive change, because you can't go from being around the playoffs and then the next following year be 17th, 18th without there being a proper reason. Maybe the players are bored of this system. Maybe the manager's not fully invested. I don't know. There's possible loads of reasons which we could pick up on. But yeah, it's not looking good, and I think they need to really kick on and try and get themselves into a bit of better form before it becomes too late. Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a new Newport fans podcast, which is just come out. So I think it's called The Other Welsh Club. So I might have to listen to that to see what actually is the problem, because I would have thought the fans will know what the problem is.
Yeah, we'll have to do our research, I think. So we'll be back next week with a brand new Newport segment that can replace our Burton segment. There we go. Right then, do you want to run us through the rest of the scores that happened this weekend?
Oh yeah. So in round 7 of League 2, you obviously had Bradford City 2, Walsall 1, Walsall carrying on their losing streak, Carlisle 3, Rochdale 3, Colchester United 1, Hartlepool 1, Crewe Alexandra 1, Stevenage 2, Doncaster Rovers 1, Mansfield 3, Gillingham 0, Swindon Town 0, Leyton Orient 2, Tranmere Rovers 0, Newport County 0, Grimsby Town 2, Northampton Town 3, Barrow 1, Salford 2, Crawley 2, Stockport County 1, AFC Wimbledon 0, and Sutton United 2, Harrogate Town 1.
Lovely stuff. Right, let's then go to League One. Sorry, go to League One.
No.
No,
We've got a new segment, which is
do have a new segment.
A monthly segment.
Yes.
Remember?
Yes,
yes.
Sorry.
Yes.
Right. Right. Let's go to our player and manager of the month segment. You know, this is very new, very special. So special that I forgot about it. So if I we'll start with players. If I read out the players' names and the teams they play for. So the four players are Sam Hoskins. He is playing for Northampton Town. Paul Smith, striker for Leyton Orient. Luke Waterfall, centre half for Grimsby. And Ben Whitfield, a Barrow player. All those four have had very good, strong starts. Obviously, Paul Smith standing out as he's playing up front for Leyton Orient, who are currently unbeaten. Sam Hoskins has scored a lot of goals. Waterfall, good class centre back. Who do you think should win it?
I think Ben Whitfield. He's just been outstanding for Barrow. He's one of the main reasons why they're up there this season. And he's had 5 assists in the last month and 3 goals. So, yeah, for a wing back, I think he is. Yeah. He's, well, left winger. He's just done really well. And he's really hit the ground running at Barrow. He got let go of by Stockport County. Another one that they probably shouldn't have let go of, like Squiggly. But yeah, he's just done really well, and I'm really surprised at how well he's transformed him single handedly, maybe has transformed Barrow, because he's just got off to an absolute flyer.
Yeah, I agree. Well, actually, do I agree? I agree with your statement saying he's, you know, he's had a really good start. He's definitely transformed this Barrow team. He's probably gone a bit more sort of unnoticed compared to a player like Sam Hoskins, because Sam Hoskins has been in the headlines for the amount of goals he scored. But Whitfield, as you said, a lot of assists. He's fairly crucial now in this Barrow team. One player which we should talk about is Waterfall. He's a centre-back up for player of the month. So obviously he has to be doing something well, because normally you only see the goal scorers, the top assists, the best midfielders in there. So I think he's one definitely to contend. But I don't know who to go with. I think it's going to be Sam
You've
Hoskins.
You've had all day. Oh, Sam Hoskins.
I think it's going to be Hoskins. And that's purely just because of how well he started this season. He scored one against Barrow.
Yeah, I think only Haaland has scored, well, in the 92, has scored more goals than Sam Hoskins this season.
Yeah, some crazy stats going on about him. Have we had any comments for other people that should have been in?
John Brady, no clue.
No clue.
Northampton Town, yeah. But yeah, probably a good shout, because Northampton are doing really well at the moment.
And then the rest seem to be supporting Sam Hoskins, and there's one supporting Paul Smith. But yeah, so I've gone for Sam Hoskins. Luke has gone for Ben Whitfield. And, you know, yeah. Well, I think we'll leave that one there. If we look at managers now, so we have Steve Evans. Obviously, I've already said is my manager of the month. He's the manager of Stevenage. Massive transformation there. You got Gary McSheffrey of Doncaster, Richie Wellens of Leyton Orient, and Pete Wild of Barrow. Fire away.
Yeah. I think there's only one contender. Well, maybe two. They're all good, let's be honest. But I know Pete Wild's done an amazing job with Barrow. Richie Wellens done an amazing job at Leyton Orient. Gary McSheffrey has done an all right job with Doncaster. However, the biggest person out of these four, literally, is Steve Evans. He's just an amazing job for Stevenage. And I didn't see this coming, and I didn't see his bounce back coming. So, yeah, Steve Evans, definitely manager of the month for me.
Yeah, all of these managers are managing teams in the top six. Leyton Orient first, Stevenage second, Barrow third, and Doncaster sixth. But yeah, you know, I think Richie Wellens has done well to come in and get Leyton Orient top of the league and unbeaten. So I don't want to take the credit away from that. But I just feel Steve Evans coming in and taking, as I said earlier, taking this team from the very bottom of the league right the way to the top is something that just can't go unnoticed, and he thoroughly deserves the player of the month. Do they get a trophy, or is it a little?
They get a little trophy thing, don't they?
Yeah, it says like player of the month or something like
that. Yeah.
I think he needs one of them for the mantelpiece. So, yeah, we'll leave that there. Let's move to League One then.
I think there's only one place to start this League One segment. And I think that might obviously be the Bad Burton segment, which hopefully, well, hopefully for them, is the last time we're going to do a Bad Burton segment. So insert music here. And then we'll go on to the big news of the week, that Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink has resigned from Burton. I think we all saw this coming, especially after you saw him on Sky Sports yet again, the day after his Burton team lost and sit 24th in the table. It's a bit ironic that he's talking about how Chelsea or something could do better, like defensively, or be more organised and stuff, where when his Burton Albion team are 24th and have probably let in the most horrendously defended goal I have ever seen. Have you seen the clip of, I think it might be the second goal that Oxford scored at the weekend?
Jose, did it not make the goalkeeper?
Well, basically, yeah, he didn't make the goalkeeper, but a defender jumped up and fell on the ground, slipped on the ground whilst heading the ball. And then one of the wider centre-backs kept on running forwards. So then there was a massive gap that opened up and it just went to the Oxford attacker. And it was just, yeah, again, for the seventh or eighth game running, Burton shot themselves in the foot, which does not really surprise me. But yeah, Hasselbaink's gone, probably for the sake of Burton, really. I know we've gone on about him literally every podcast so far. So Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink is a name that you're not going to hear anymore on this podcast.
Well, let's hope so.
Let's hope so.
You know, we may get a few podcasts in and he somehow gets himself a job somewhere else. But yeah, it was time for him to go. Sat 24th with 1 point, not even a win under the belt. Things were starting to get messy, is how I'll describe it. Yes, they've been scoring a lot of goals, but then sloppy defences. They're a team that's been committing a lot of fouls. 13 fouls in the last game. I think the one before was like 19 fouls, giving a lot of cards away. But I think it's a real shame. You know, this is sort of a landmark. It's our first real landmark on this podcast as we say goodbye to Floyd Hasselbaink.
And an icon.
Let's pray that Burton can pick up form and they can get themselves out of the negative section of the podcast, because I feel like we've done that now.
Yeah.
But if we look at this game, 2-1, and as you said, the second goal was a massive mistake from the Burton defence. But if we just look at it purely from a scoreline perspective, Oxford winning 2-1. Oxford getting a much-needed win, would you say, for Carl Robinson's men. It does see them now move up to 11th on 10 points. But it's been a slow start for them, would you agree?
Yeah, I think it's probably the perfect time to play Oxford at the moment, because I think they've got lots of key men out injured. And they've also not had a very good start, because they drew against Morecambe and they lost against Lincoln. And they also only just beat this Burton team, this awful Burton team. And they also only just beat Cheltenham as well, and also Cambridge. So I don't think they deserve to beat Cambridge at all. And that was their first win. They just struggled to create. And that's the biggest problem for them. So if the match is already going ahead on Saturday and I should be going to Shrewsbury versus Oxford, it should be very interesting, because the winner of that game could probably scratch 7th or 8th, which is pretty huge for both clubs, seeing as Oxford have not had a very good start this season.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see how they do at the weekend following, you know, getting 3 points under the belt. That might have helped them, give them a little boost. But as you said, missing a lot of players, you know, most notably Matty Taylor, the striker. He's not in the team. Yes, they've got Carl Joseph, but he's only a young boy on loan from Swansea. Not really got a lot of experience up front. But one key player for them that seems to be doing well is Cameron Brannigan. He's a player that, you know, I'm kind of surprised that's still playing at this level. I would have thought a championship team would have come down for him now. He's got 6 goals already this season. So it'll be interesting to see if he can keep this going, kick on, because he's definitely a player for me that's in the, I would say, the top end of class players in this league. So it'd be interesting to see if he can get a move. But yeah, as you said, Oxford should hopefully need to pick up a bit of form because this is it's a bit like Newport, really. They've had a bit of a slow start. It's not as bad as Newport, but they've had a slow start. And they're a team that you normally associate with being around the playoffs. If we move on then to another game in League One, and we will go to Bolton versus Charlton. Bolton came on top this game 3-1. Goals from Bradley, Lee, and Johnstone. And this, you know, Bolton came from behind to win this with Charlton Athletic getting a goal in the 4th minute from Scott Fraser. Notably, an assist from Rak Saki, a very good young, high prospectable player on loan from Crystal Palace. Charlton currently sat 12th and Bolton are currently sat 8th. Do you think there's any, you know, massive surprises where these two teams are located in the league, or is that where you predict them all from the beginning because you're really smart?
I think that might have been where I predicted them from the very beginning because I'm really smart. I think I did say that Charlton were going to be somewhere between 12th and 10th this season. I don't think they've vastly improved on last season, and I know there was suggestions that they could go really far this season when they beat Plymouth 5-1, but I think we've seen that that was a bit of an anomaly, really, because a Plymouth player was sent off. And yeah, you just seen they just got absolutely battered by Bolton. I think Bolton had 19 shots compared to Charlton's 9, and also created 3 big chances. So again, Bolton very clinical, really, and are doing pretty well this season. Again, where I probably predicted them to be. So yeah, not really surprised as I've just got a massive brain.
Obviously, massive brain. That's why you're here. So yeah, as I said, Rak Saki, this is a player that was wanted by a lot of players in the league. There's a lot of players in the league, no, a lot of teams in the league. A very good winger, and he seems to be showing his class at this level already with a couple goals and a couple assists. If he can keep this going, he may well see Charlton may well see the back of him, and he'll go on loan up into the championship. But yeah, with these two teams, this was a sort of just off the playoff sort of clash, and there will be no surprises if these teams remain in their position at the end of the season. Let's move on because let's find a more excitable game. Portsmouth versus Peterborough. So this game went 2-1 the way of Portsmouth. Portsmouth currently find themselves on level points right at the top of the table with Ipswich. Important note in this game, there was 2 goals from Dane Scarlett, and Portsmouth did in fact come from behind to win. Now, this Portsmouth team, I didn't predict them to do this well at the start of the year. I can't really remember if you did, but seeing as you're really smart, you probably did. How well do you think Dan Cowley's done?
Yeah, obviously we saw that he was a good manager at Lincoln and stuff, and he went to Huddersfield, didn't do very well there. Now he's gone to Portsmouth. I think he over the last couple of seasons he's built his the team that he wants really, and yeah, they've just come flying out of the blocks and they've started really well. I think Scarlett seems to be a massive talent. Is he from Spurs Academy?
Yeah, Tottenham Hotspur's Academy, yeah.
Yeah, I think he is the start of the future, really, because the way he took his goals were really well beyond his years, really. You would have thought a young player like him would have snatched at them chances, but he put them away pretty well. Additionally, Marlon Pack just incredible as usual for League One standards, and they really kept Peterborough quiet most of the game. An XG of 0.48 for Peterborough, so Portsmouth did handle it really well, and I think Danny Cowley has got a really good prospect on his hands really this season.
Right, I think, talk about good strikers. If you should look at Peterborough, Johnson Clark-Harris and Jack Marin, what a start they've both had to the season. Clark-Harris getting 5 goals and assists. Marriott getting 4 goals and an assist. Two players very well linking up together. Marriott scoring this weekend, but Clark-Harris getting the assist. How crucial do you think these will be for Peterborough's season on trying to get bounce straight back up to the old championship?
Yeah, I think they're going to depend on their attacking, Peterborough, because their defence is probably not top six standard. Well, the way that they structure themselves, they're open to get cut open a few times a game. So I think the way that they play, their attackers are crucial. And if Clark Harris and Marriott had not got off to the flyers that they have, that it would be a very different story. So yeah, I think these two players are crucial for their season this season.
Yeah, indeed they are. Okay, so if we move on to a third game now in the league, and that will be Derby County versus Plymouth Argyle. Plymouth Argyle won this game 3-2. They scored 3 goals in the second half to help bring home the bacon. There's one player which I want to talk about. You know what's coming. This is what happened last week. I may insert a clip actually from last week here of where you said Sam Cosgrove is one of the worst players you've ever seen, and he won't do very well. Well, it was almost like he was listening to that podcast. And if he did, if you are listening, hello, hello, how are you? But he scored twice on his debut, and I believe it was his first two touches or something he scored. So, what do you have to say for yourself?
Well, I shouldn't really be taking any criticism for what I said, really, because everything that I said was true. Well, a bit about him being the worst player I've ever seen. Because at the start of last season, Shrewsbury were in a relegation battle, and he just didn't seem to take it seriously at all. He stopped when fans were shouting, like, "What are you doing? Like, get up, like, do something." He started laughing at them. And I expect when you're going to Akron and Stanley away and your striker's laughing at you, there's something wrong with the player. And yeah, from that moment onwards, really, Steve Cotchell left him out of the squad sometimes, because I think he was a really toxic presence in the dressing room. Because the whole thing with Shrewsbury is we're a really tight and compact and really friendly squad and unit, and we fight for each other. And there was a game against Bolton last season, Wigan last season, where we equalised, and then in the last minute, I think Asgard scored from like 30 yards, and it was obvious to see that we subbed on Cosgrove, and he just didn't close down Asgard whatsoever. He was just like strolling towards him, and it obviously just it throughout his time at Shrewsbury, he only scored 2 goals. And it just didn't look like he cared at all, and I think that's pretty much the same with how he went at Wimbledon, only scoring one goal, and I think it was a deflected effort or a screamer, one of the two. I think it probably was a deflected screamer. So I stand by my words. I don't think he'll do very well for Argyle. I think it might be a lucky break that he's had. Hopefully for him, he can kick on, but yeah, he just doesn't have the character and mentality to do well in this league.
Okay, if he is listening, I apologize for Luke saying you don't have the mentality for this league. But anyway, let's focus on the game. 3-2 went the way of Plymouth. Plymouth are currently now third in the league, 15 points, 5 wins. They've had a very good start. And they're a team, they were the, I would say they were sort of the surprise team last year to being around the playoffs. And when Ryan Lowe left, we all thought it was going to end there and nothing was going to happen. But they've kept it going. Whittaker as well, getting on the score sheet. They've had a good transfer window, bringing players like Finneyzazin. They're still their midfield as well. They've got Matt Butcher as well, and Barley Mumba as well. They've got a strong team. And Derby, ninth in the league. They signed a lot of players, which they needed to do. Remember last year where Wayne Rooney said they needed a ridiculous amount of players to be compete in any of the four divisions in the England. But their ninth is, well, I guess I've said 2 points there, so I'll give you two questions. Plymouth being third, are you surprised? And Derby being ninth, is that what we expected?
I think that's again big brain me. It's what I expected from Derby, but yeah, Plymouth, they've kicked on from last season. They look even better, and they are keeping a pace with Ipswich and Portsmouth, and doing really well, to be honest. Especially at it's at home park that they play at. They're just incredible. I don't think they've lost at home park this season, and I don't know. And they're just a really good team to watch. They don't know, obviously they don't know when they're beaten, because they were 2-0 down at half time and came back and won 3-2 against this Derby side. I think this Derby side have not really settled into the league as well as they hoped, because I think this is the first game that James Collins has scored in, and Mendes Lang's not been amazing for them either. So I think as soon as Derby settle and as soon as this 11 comes together really well, they should be pushing for playoffs, but I don't really see it at this point.
No, yeah, Derby are a team where I thought, the struggles they had last year, and obviously losing manager Wayne Rooney, he's gone over to DC United. I think they're a team that are going to be ninth. I think there's too many teams in this league who are all trying to go for promotion this year. And I think bringing so many players in will affect them as well, a bit like how it affected Ipswich last year. Right, do you want to run us through last week's other scorelines?
Yeah, so last week's results, really. Obviously, there's a game played on Tuesday night. I'll probably read that out as well. So, Accrington Stanley nil, Ipswich Town 2, Bolton Wanderers 3, Charlton Athletic 1, Bristol Rovers 2, Morecambe 2, suck that, Joey Barton, Cambridge United 2, Lincoln City nil, Derby County 2, Plymouth Argyle 3, Exeter 1, Milton Keynes nil, Fleetwood 1, Wickham 1, Forest Green nil, Shrewsbury Town 2, suck that, Joey Barton, Oxford United 2, Burton Albion 1, Port Vale 2, Cheltenham 2, Portsmouth 2, Peterborough 1, suck that, Joey Barton, Sheffield Wednesday nil, and Barnsley 2. And on Tuesday night, Forest Green won a game 2-1 against Accrington, which was a pretty big win for them, seeing as it puts them back into that relegation battle after being a few points adrift.
It does indeed. Becomes their second win of the season, and they're now tied on 7 points with Lincoln and Accrington, who sit just above relegation zone. Oh no, and I'm being biased. There's another team, Milton Keynes Dons, on 7 points as well, who are sat 18th. That's
We
great.
just have a little talk about Milton Keynes.
I would rather we didn't.
You know how last week we were saying you deluded about being in a relegation battle.
Yes. It is back on.
Are them thoughts coming back a little bit? Because from what I saw against Exeter, you weren't great.
No, we definitely weren't. We weren't the best, is what I would say about that game. 18th. I'm just trying to smile, to be honest with you, because inside I'm crying. Because all every time I see us in this position in the league, I just have the vision of when I went to Plymouth last year. And I saw a two signs. One said League One winners, the other said promoted, and next to it was a trophy. We came so close, never touched it, and now we're 18th in the league, losing to teams like Exeter.
Exeter have done really well this season, so I mean, not a huge
Yeah,
surprise.
they've done really well, but why are we losing to them? That's my real question. We've lost, yes, we've lost Scott Twine, Harry Darling, Fisher, O'Reilly, all of these top class players, and they're all doing well, really well. And important to note, Matt O'Reilly started for Celtic against Real Madrid the other day, so well done to him. But we're a bit like, we're a bit like Newport. How can you go from being in the playoffs to being 18th and having, looking at our team, we haven't got any excitement anymore. 2 years ago, we had Scott Fraser. Last year, we had Scott Twine. This year, it's supposed to be Dawson Devoy, but he won't play him because he's too young and he's Irish, apparently. Some weird
Will
reason.
Griggs Irish?
And we got Will, he's Northern Irish, but we've got Will Grigg, but he's been injured. But
Yeah. Will Griggs on fire, Harry.
he scored two goals. He was on fire. He didn't score any last game. Got taken off at half time. We've got is I'm being negative, but we're playing Bristol Rovers at the weekend at
Please
home.
win that.
If we
Please.
don't win that, honestly, next week's show, I'll just devote it to MK Dons. I have the power to
Okay.
do that. I will do that. So, I just want to take the team apart, step by step analysis. So I think we'll just leave it there before I start
We'll leave
crying.
it for next week if you lose against Bristol because they look awful. So,
Yeah, I'm starting to slowly cry inside right now. And now let's talk about players and manager of the month nominations. So, run through the players. We have Joe Ward of Peterborough, Liam Palmer of Sheffield Wednesday, Sam Smith of Cambridge, and Aaron Collins of Bristol Rovers. Go on then, tell us.
I think Sam Smith. has got to be player of the month for Cambridge United, because again, I think he's a massive reason why they're up in the playoffs at the moment with his a lot of goals. I think four goals so far. So yeah, I think he's done really well for Cambridge, and obviously is one of the reasons why they're in the playoffs at the moment. And I can see him kicking on. And yeah, he's just been the best player in League One over the last 4 weeks, I think. Well, attacking wise, anyway.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think the other three are very good players. Aaron Connors, obviously, coming up with Bristol Rovers last year, used to be at Forest Green. I think he's a very good player with a lot of potential in the future. Liam Palmer, very experienced defender, wing back defender sort of player. Played at the Championship. Surprised he's still down in League One. And then obviously Joe Ward, more to the same. But yeah, Sam Smith, those four goals for Cambridge. Cambridge, you know, currently sat fifth. We didn't really mention that yet. Cambridge is currently fifth in the league. And he's definitely playing a major part in that front three with Ironside and Harvey Nibbs. So yeah, if it doesn't go to him, I'll be surprised, but I think he's a very good player.
I think we might agree with the manager of the month too, actually.
Do you? So if I just read them out quickly. And so first one of the nominations is Danny Cowley. That's sort of Portsmouth, obviously. Kieran McKenna of Ipswich. Darren Moore of Sheffield Wednesday. And Stephen Schumacher of Plymouth. Who do you think it is?
Schumacher.
Yes.
It's got to be. It's surely with the budget he's on compared to the rest of the teams that, well, these managers are managing. He's got to be manager of the month, because 2 points off Portsmouth and Ipswich with probably like half the budget, and obviously above Sheffield Wednesday by 2 points with probably a third of the budget. He's done wonders with Argyle. He's really carried on from the right. Previous manager. And he's improved the team, and he's proved to be a really good manager.
And yeah. And
wasn't what I was expecting, really.
Yeah, I completely agree. The amount of pressure on him after Ryan Lowe was their manager, the amount of pressure that was on him when Ryan Lowe left because of how well Ryan Lowe had done. He's obviously at Preston now. And yeah, as you said, the budget is on, but the signings he's made as well, bringing players like Finn Azazin, Barley Mumba from Norwich, Cosgrove as well has to be the standout signing.
Oh, yes.
But yeah, sat third in the league. And if this had been last year, we would have. Obviously, Plymouth, as I said earlier, they were the surprise team for me. Seeing them third again this year, just, you know, they're not messing around. They want this promotion, and fair play to them.
I've right. Just seen how many likes that post has got, the League One one.
Yeah.
It's like 83 or something.
Yeah, it's got 83 and 1,267 views.
Yeah. Compared to the other two for like League Two and Championship, they both got like around 40, which further cements that League One is the biggest league in the world.
It does. It does indeed. They've got the most views and the most likes. And I'm really impressed. I have to say, one of the Instagram posts that went out the other day was a post that involved Shrewsbury Town. how many Salop fans were there?
There's loads. I think that's. It was eight comments we got from Shrewsbury fans.
And then I was looking through some of the people who liked it to make sure it just wasn't the grandma. And it was, you know, a lot of Shrewsbury Town fans as well.
So, I told you, we're massive. We're absolutely huge. Biggest club in Shropshire.
In Shropshire, yeah. Right then. If we then move now to the Championship, very eventful weekend as usual. Sheffield United, top of the league, and Huddersfield Town, right at the bottom of the league now. They've got a game in hand, but they've only picked up 4 points, which is a bit of a worry. I think the first game I would like to talk about, and that's just because, you know, it's a standard now, Swansea versus QPR, and purely because it's the Russell Martin segment. I'll put some music in here. Don't know what it will be, but hey. So Swansea won this game 1-0. It was their first win at home, and I think last week I said it was seven. I'm not too sure on that stat, so don't hold me to that, but I think it's the first win at home in seven. And it's almost like Russell Martin's been, well, not necessarily listening to us, but listening to everybody else, because we saw a massive change, I would say, in this team. He dropped Harry Darling from the starting lineup and dropped Andy Fisher. And then also, if we're looking at the match stats, this is Ross Martin obviously likes to control possession. They only had 46% possession in this game compared to their usual 70% possession, we'll say. And they also created 13 shots. Now, do you think this is Ross Martin finally realising that you can't just have the ball for 90 minutes and play it out for a draw from the first minute? Or do you think this is just a lucky coincidence for him?
I don't know. It could be a coincidence or it could be tactical. Because in the last two games, one against Stoke and this game against QPR, they've scored earlier, which would mean that the team that you're against would obviously take control of the match. Well, take control of the match whether they want to score. So, which would mean that they would be on the ball a bit more. So, it could be just because they scored early, but also it is a massive difference because I think in some of the matches they lost, they were right at 75% possession compared to the QPR match where I think then it was 40-odd percent?
46.
46%. So obviously a lot less than they used to. It could be a tactic. I hope it is for the manager, Russell Martin's sake, because it's proved to be a really good tactic for them. And it could have been even better if Joe Perreault scored that penalty early in the game.
Yes, definitely indeed. Now, this win has put them 19th in the league now. It's the second win of the year. But they still have a -4 goal difference, which, you know, like, and they need to start getting that into the positives, as that could be a bit, well, painful for them at the end of the season. But yeah, that was me really just wanted to talk about Russell Martin again. If we move on to another game, then Norwich versus Coventry. Yeah, so this is very much top versus bottom. If you remember in our first few podcasts, we were taunting a Mr. George Bowman. Another URN member, obviously, Norwich City fan, about how they had such a terrible start on bottom of the league, but they are now second with 16 points. Good to see Pookie back on the score sheet and Josh Sargent. This may well be his year. Obviously, brought him in last year, didn't do very well in the Premier League, but he's scored his fifth at the weekend. What do you think about Norwich so far?
I think they have finally come together as a team in the Championship. I know they're playing against a poor form Coventry City team who have struggled, especially at the start of the season, as they can't get into the groove of games because they've been having weeks off and stuff because they can't play home games. So, again, I think this is probably an ideal time to play Coventry because they aren't fully match fit compared to other teams, I'd argue. But yeah, Norwich dominated this game. I think, was there a disallowed goal for Coventry in this game? I think there might have been an offside goal for Coventry. Well, they scored and it didn't look like it was offside anyway. So I think...
It was Carl McFasden.
Yeah, it would have been equaliser for them. Yeah, so...
a thunderbolt of a goal, but I think there was some player offside on the goal line or something. He didn't touch it.
Yeah, something like that, which is a bit odd. And I think most people are saying that it probably should have been given the goal, which really changes the perception of the game from then on. But yeah, Sargent, he just looks different class in the last 5-6 games, and he over Pookie could be their talisman this season. What do you think about Sargent's regeneration, really?
I think it's, you know, he's a young player, young American. I think it's, you know, it's perfect timing for him. Obviously they bought him in last year. I want to hopefully say he wasn't brought in last year to be the main man, but I have a small feeling he was. But this year, having the step down, he's really taken advantage of this. Managed to get himself starting lineup, 5 goals already, and he's proving to be an absolute handful for any defender. So yeah, I think this could well be his year, and I think the step down has sort of been a sort of a blessing in disguise, that relegation for certainly for him. Notably, it's good to see, as I said, Pookie back on that score sheet and obviously picking that up, that injury. But yeah, Norwich, you know, back in the top two where we predicted them to be. Burnley are currently creeping themselves up there as well. So you're starting to see all relegated teams, and sorry, Watford as well, all three relegated teams in the playoffs. Some would say they're all a bit yo-yo-y, but you know, that's the way this league seems to work now. But if we focus on Coventry quickly with me, they're bottom of the league, and you know, this isn't a team that we predicted to be here. The team that we both predicted is Reading, who are third. So I think we're going to have to issue a formal apology. Focusing on Coventry now, 24th in the league, 1 point, minus six goal difference. It's not looking good. And if you're looking at their team as well, there's no, well, Carmack Fazdean, he's an old defender, 35, I want to say. They got Tyler Walker up front. He was on loan at Portsmouth last year and didn't really set the world alight there. So I'm starting to get very worried for them. But yeah, that's all I've really got to say.
I'm not, because they've still got some really good players like Panzo, Godden, Garakis, and O'Hare. So I think they'll be fine by the end of the season. It's just that it's definitely the home matches that have really screwed them, really.
It is. Yeah. They've only played five, haven't they?
Yeah.
I missed that little detail. That is my... But you know what? I'll lay the groundwork there. It's my bad. That is my fault. But yeah, well, scrap everything I've just said.
Okay, should we go on to a team that has surprised us then?
Yeah, let's just move that. Move on.
So Reading beat Stoke on Sunday. I was watching it from the TV as it was on Sky. And yeah, I might have to apologise to Reading profusely, because they just look like a really solid team. Well, against the Stoke team, they weren't obviously the best, but Lucas Zhao looked good. Even Ince looked really good. I think player of the match for me, biased really, but Tarish Fauna played an absolute blinder. He was playing as like a wide midfielder, not a winger, but a wide midfielder. In this game, he played on the left of the midfield and basically won Zhao a penalty with an amazing ball in. And yeah, this Reading team look really solid. They've got a really good defence from what I could see at the weekend. The midfield looks good. Ince just kept running every single minute of the match. And Lucas Zhao is back for them, doubling his goals on his birthday. Shane Long looks a bit rusty and past it, though. That's the only problem for them at the moment. On the other hand, Stoke, not great. Did you see Reading's first goal? The one where Lumley kicks it out past the halfway line, gets the Zhao. No, it bounces over Bonham in goal as he rushes out, and then Zhao gets on the end of the ball, shoots into the goal, and then Flint, well, any other defender would have cleared it off the line, but Flint decides to boot it in his own goal. So it was basically really comical from Stoke, and Alex Neil is going to be absolutely furious at them, because Alex Neil is a winner, and I think eventually he will win with this Stoke side, but it wasn't good enough at the weekend, and it was one of the worst games I've seen them play in a long time.
Yeah, my thoughts on Reading is pretty much similar to you. You know, they've got a perfect championship home record this season. Lucas Jarlow's getting two goals, and it's his birthday as well. Small little note there. But, you know, third in the league, who'd have thought it? Because if you're looking at their team, it's not full of stars. You've got Tom Ince, who used to play for Stoke, but sort of came out of favour. Tarish Fauna, your little superstar. You seem to love him so much. Juno Hoylett as well. Lumley and Lucas Jarlow and Shane Long. It's a team that you look at and you think, okay, at best it's a mid-table team, if I'm being honest, because you've seen a lot of players there who have either been good and, you know, coming towards the end of their careers, or they're on the way up, like Fauna. But I'm really impressed with how well they've done. And yeah, I watched that game as well at the weekend, and they just seem to control it so well. And if you look at Stoke, as you said, Alex Neil is a winner, and with this team, he will be winning, because you know, you've got Liam Delap in there, Lewis Baker, Smallbone on loan from Southampton, Wilmot. You know, this is a not a star-studded team, but a very good, highly prospectable team. So that sort of might have been the attraction of what brought Alex Neil across from Sunderland. Stoke are currently sat 20th in the league, though, so it is a bit low, but I think give Neil a couple games and we should see a turnaround there. But as we said, yeah, Reading sat third in the league and they don't look like they're going to fall.
I think it's important to note as well that Stoke do have a lot of injuries at the moment, especially Josh Tymon, who was an outstanding player last season. Josh Loren, also an outstanding player last season, as well as Harry Suter, who was also an outstanding player last season. So three of what you'd say is part of their best 11 are out for quite a considerable amount of time. So that could be why they're doing so badly at the moment too.
Yeah, completely. I would love to see. There's a few teams like this now. We've got a couple injuries, and I would love to see what their actual best would be with all these players fully fit. If we move on then to our fourth game in the league, yeah, our fourth game now, and we'll go for Blackburn versus Bristol City. Blackburn obviously had such a strong start to the season, but then they currently find themselves sat seventh. Important to note that Berrettan Diaz did not leave him this transfer window, despite a lot of interest for him, and he did manage to pick himself up a goal in the 93rd minute. Bristol City, obviously, Vyman has had such a strong start for them, scoring and assisting. He picked up two assists this game, and Wells as well managed to get himself two goals. A very good experienced striker at this league. But Bristol City have had also had a very good start, and they're fourth in the league on 14 points. Is that a surprise, or is this just they're just doing sort of the team that's slid under the radar this year?
Well, obviously, big brain me. I obviously said that Coventry might be the surprise of the season. However, I did caveat that by saying Bristol City might as well. So I am claiming this one.
It's a bit of a
Thank
stretch,
you.
but we'll give you it.
Bit of a stretch, but yeah, Bristol City have one of the best attacks in the league. I mean, the defense, if they can just shore up that defense a bit, they will be at the playoffs at the end of the season because they've done incredibly well, especially in the last 8 games in all competitions, they haven't lost. So they've gone unbeaten. And yeah, Wells has proved to be amazing. Vyman, obviously, he turned creator now. Conway's had a good few games. So, and Semenyo has also been pretty well so far this season. So yeah, I think Nigel Pearson has put together a really strong squad. I think the defence, two-thirds of it, is pretty good with Naismith and Atkinson. I think they probably just need a bit of an upgrade on the third centre back, Vinea. That might be how you pronounce it.
Viner.
Viner. So yeah, I think on the whole, I can see this Bristol City club going places.
Lovely, lovely stuff. Yeah, they're definitely a team that they've sort of slid under the radar, you know, because everybody was focusing certainly on Norwich, Sheffield United, you know, list goes on. But they have got a good setup, as you've said. So interesting to see if they can hold on to there. But Burnley and Watford have now found their feet in this league and are climbing the table. If you look at Blackburn, this is a team that started so well, but yeah, are now starting to slip down and they've slipped out the playoffs. You know, they've got 4 wins and 4 losses, and they have a negative goal difference as well. If you're looking at their team, you're seeing they've got good players. You know, you've got Bradley Dax back, probably get injured again and be out for a while, but they've got Berrettan Diaz, most standout player. Obviously, Tyrese Dolan. John Buckley.
Blackburn have lost 3 games in the last five, 3 games in the last four in the league, which does suggest a massive drop off, which I don't know. I probably saw coming as it happened last year too, but I think it's happened a lot earlier. The only positive of this is Berrettan Diaz is still scoring quite rapidly. So if he stays, he'll do all right. If he stays throughout the season, he'll do all right. And I think Blackburn, probably a mid-table team, to be honest.
If you're looking at this Blackburn team, as you've just said, a mid-table team, they're not, it doesn't look as strong as previous years, obviously missing players like Joe Rothwell. But for me, it's a centre forward role. In the past, they've had players like Adam Armstrong. They've obviously if this have they still got Sam Gallagher, or is he injured?
I think he's injured. Yeah, he's injured until mid-September.
Yeah, so you know, up front, obviously they've brought George Hurst in from Leicester. He had a very good back end of the season last year. He didn't have the greatest of start when he was on loan at Portsmouth. So, yeah, as we've been over, it's just it doesn't look as strong as a previous Blackpool team has had. It'd be interesting if you know if Berrettson and Diaz can you know start getting a few more goals like he had last year. But apart from that, looking at the team, it's not gonna look it's not looking very exciting like it has done in the past. But yeah, they're currently seventh. I think we'll leave it there for now on that then. Right then, Luke, if you run us through last week's El Campeone scores.
Okay, so West Brom 1, Burnley 1, Blackburn 2, Bristol 3, Bristol City 3, Luton 1, Wigan 2, Millwall 2, Cardiff 0, Norwich 3, Coventry 0, Preston North End 0, Birmingham 1, Rotherham 1, Watford 1, Swansea 1, QPR 0, Reading 2, Stoke 1, Huddersfield Town 0, Blackpool 1, Hull City 0, Sheffield United 2.
Lovely stuff.
And Middlesbrough 1, Sunderland 0.
Even better. Right. One final thing to wrap up this show. We'll just quickly go through the player of the month and managers of the month. So we start with players of the month. First one, Oscar Estepinian of Hull City, Liam Lindsay of Preston North End, Ross Stewart of Sunderland, and Luke Green's favourite, Richard Wood of Rotherham.
I'm going to give it to Richard Wood.
That's are you?
Yeah.
This is a player that you have doubted.
I just think he's been mental this month. I think he's just been insane this month. He's just done really well for Rotherham. Obviously, he's got a brace against Birmingham and one against Watford and one against Reading. He's just been outstanding. And I thought he'd slow down because he's like 36 or whatever, 37. But he's obviously proved that age is just a number.
He has indeed. He's got 4 goals in 6 games. It's for me, it's between him and obviously Oscar Estepinian. Obviously, he scored a lot of goals this year already. Top goal scorer currently. Obviously scored a lot of goals already with 7 goals in 8 games and obviously picking up one assist. So I'm sort of torn between the two. I think I'm going to play it safe and boring and stick with you, seeing as you are the smartest man around. And I'm going to go for Richard Wood as well, because 4 goals in 6 games for a 36-year-old centre back is crazy. And obviously proving that he still can play. And it's important to note that he hasn't had the best of season in the Championship in his past few seasons when they've been up there. If we then just move on to managers quickly, then obviously they have Rob Edwards, who's the manager of Watford, Paul Heckingbottom of Sheffield United, Paul Ince of Reading, and Dean Smith of Norwich. I'm going to jump in before you and I'm going to say Paul Ince because Reading are third with that team and it is crazy. What about you?
Yeah, I agree. I think that he's done a fantastic job with Reading so far, and I was very surprised.
Okay, right. I think we'll just leave that one there because we've talked about Reading a lot this episode. So that sort of brings us to an end today. Yeah, if you know EFL at URN, Instagram page is very active at the moment. We're trying to get a post a day
Very.
out there. So in fact, we've had 4 posts out there today. So if you want to keep up to date with EFL news, please go over there, give us a follow, a like, a view. A comment a smiley face if you really want
View.
to. So, yeah, but overall, we'll leave it there. Thank you for listening, and hopefully, you'll hear from us next week.